Good evening. Welcome to SheerEnjoyment.com. We begin by giving forth a shout out to our host, Jake Weinman, and his technical assistant of SheerEnjoyment.com, Mitch Green, the one and only Mitch Green. Their devotion knows no bounds, no limits. We are grateful to them for all of their tireless efforts and their toil and hard work to bringing this incredible organization, enterprise, to its incredible, bringing it further in its incredible success and achievement. We want to dedicate this year tonight to the Zchus, the safe return of physical and emotional and all different dimensions of the hostages that are currently in a very dangerous state of being, Eretz Yisrael, Gaza, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu have rachamim, and return them home safely to their families. Likewise, may all of those who have been injured, all those that are in a state of anxiety and a difficult emotional state, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu have rachamim, and may they be healed. And of course, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu protect, guide, very delicate care, ki ishoin basoyim, like the pupil of this eye, the chayolim that are putting their lives at risk, putting their lives in their hand for us, and Kadosh Baruch Hu protect them, and may they be successful beyond their wildest imagination in bringing the Klal Yisrael of Yeshua, the Karais. Likewise, we want to dedicate the Shir L'Zecha U'L'Ilu Nishmas Manish Yitzchak Ben Aryeh, as we do each week. A special thank you to our sponsor who has dedicated the Shir L'Zecha U'L'Ilu Nishmas Tiz Neshama. This week is Parashas Vayetze. It's a beautiful parasha, long parasha. It's a difficult parasha. There are many beautiful topics in this parasha. I want to discuss tonight something a little bit off, a little bit unusual. It's a sensitive part of the parasha. It needs a lot of study, depth of understanding, and what we say tonight, I have to give a very strong disclaimer, is just, as Rabbi Maievsky would always say, I'm thinking out loud with you. Let's not take anything I say too literal, or 100%. Let us just explore together an idea that the Torah mentions. Let's just, you know, talk about it and see what we can take out of this. But again, this is not a complete, thoroughly worked out idea. It needs further development and study. In this week's parasha, we learn about in the fourth Aliyah Revi'i. I'll read the Pesukim to get a better idea. Vayelech Ruvain b'nei kitzir chitim. Ruvain, he went out in the harvest season. Vayimtza, and he found dudoim. According to Rashi, according to the Gemara, dudoim is a type of grass. Some say it's mandrakes. Some say it's what's called a sigley. It's a certain type of herb. And he found this in the Sadeh. He brought them Leah Imo, he brought them to his mother Leah. What are these? What is he giving this to Leah? What are these things? So the first to explain, I think it's pretty common, is that these things had fertility benefits, or these things they enhanced the relationship between a husband and wife. And he gave it to his mother. The pasuk goes on to say, Rachel said to Leah, "Tnino li mi dudoei b'meich, please give me these herbs, this type of grass that your son has retrieved from the field." We know that at this point in time, Leah already had, I believe, four children. Or Leah had, I'm not even sure, I have to go back and do my homework. Leah had a number of children, and Rachel did not yet have any children. Can only imagine the tsar of Rachel. Rachel was an akara. Leah already had a number of children. And according to the Ramban, according to many commentators, that the Dudoim were a type of medicine that had fertility properties, would be very beneficial for Rachel. And being that Leah already had many children, Rachel asked Leah, can you please give me from the Dudoe Dineich? May I have them? And as it comes, it's clear in the Pasuk that on this day, Yaakov would come home to the tent of Rachel. So it was a timely issue. So Leah, shockingly, she says something very, what would appear to be very harsh. Vatoymer lo, Leah says to Rachel, Hame'at, is it a small thing? Kachtech es ishi, that you have taken my husband away from me? Vilokachaskan es dudoe dini, you also want to take away from me this herb that my child has brought for me? Vatoymer Rachel, fine. If that's how you feel about it, lochein, therefore, yishkav imoch halayla, tachas dudoe vineich. Let Yaakov go to your tent in exchange for you giving me from the dudoe, the herbs that your son has brought home. And it's a shocking statement. And you know, there are ideas, there are some very popular ideas that have been developed on this pasuk, but Leah, however you want to learn the pasuk, however you want to analyze the pasuk, and with all the background to what's happening here, Leah is frustrated that she has a competitor. Chazal tells us that a man who has two wives, the two wives are called tsarais, which means trouble. Isha elachoyse litzikach litzror. Litzror really means to bond together. And in the Talmud and in the Mishnayos, this concept of a man having more than one wife, polygamy, is very, very common. Not that it was actually practiced in the world of, you know, it's not too clear if it was ever really done. At least it appears to be extremely uncommon that a man would have more than one wife in Jewish history. We're dealing with very unique situations where a person, different situations of Yibum, very, very rare circumstances where it was actually done practically. But over here, Yaakov had two wives. He had Rachel and Leah. Chazal say when a man has two wives, the two wives are competing for the attention of her husband. And Leah here is obviously frustrated that there is a second wife, a co-wife, that is taking away from the affection that her husband, Yaakov, would have for her if she was the only wife. And she has here what would appear to be an outburst, and she says to Rachel, is it a small thing that you have to also be my co-wife? You take away from me my husband, and you also now want to take away this item that my son has brought for me from the field? And it would seem that Rachel, if she wanted, she could say, yeah, why not? Rachel can answer back a lot of things. Rachel can say to Leah, you know, the only reason why you're married to my husband is because of me. It's not that I took away your husband. You took away my husband, but let's not go there. Let's not get involved in what she could have said, what she would have said. She says, fine, if that's how you feel, I still want the Dudoe Bineich. So I'll tell you what, let's make a deal. When Yaakov comes home, we will allow Yaakov, we will instruct Yaakov, and Yaakov can go to your tent, and in exchange, you will give me from the Dudoe Bineich. Okay, fine. Rashi here says something shocking. Rashi appears to criticize Rachel for just giving up on Yaakov coming to her tent. Rashi's words here are, Ulufi, Shazilzala, B'mishkaf Hatzadik, Loi Zochisa, Likover Imo. Because Rachel, she belittled the opportunity that Yaakov would come to her tent. She just quickly, without an issue, said, okay, Lachain, let Yaakov go to you. She did not value the opportunity of Yaakov coming to her tent. She did not merit to the ultimate being together, and that is after death. That is an eternal being together. That is a closeness that is for a very long time until Tchiyas HaMeisim. However, these are all mystical things. Whatever this means, it's beyond me. But there is such a concept of being buried next to a spouse. You see that in Rashi. L'fi shozilzila b'mishkaf hatzadik loy zochisa, she did not merit l'hikaver imo, to be buried with Yaakov Avinu. Because she gave up so quickly, because Leah said, is it a small thing that you take away my husband, you're also going to take away these herbs? So, and she's fine, you could have Yaakov Avinu. She lost out. She was, so to speak, punished that Yaakov would not be buried with her. Now, there's a very big problem with this. Everyone knows that in Parshas Vayechi, as Yaakov Avinu was putting his house in order, he was ill and was about to die, he calls his son Yosef, and he says to Yosef, Yosef, I know that you have a complaint against me. What is the complaint? When your mother died, when Rachel died, I didn't take her body to the Ma'oras HaMachpelah. I didn't even take her into Beis Lechem, the nearest city. I buried your mother on the road. And certainly you've been wondering all of these years, how could it be that my father, how could he do that? How could he take my mother and just bury her on the road, on the highway? How could he do that? Rachel, my mother, was the woman that he kissed when he first met her, as it says in the pasuk, Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel. Yaakov loved Rachel. Rachel was the Ikeres HaBayis. How could it be that you just, after all these years of marriage, after she gave you two children, Yosef and Binyamin, after she died in childbirth, you just abandon her and bury her on the road? Yaakov says to Yosef, I know you have this complaint against me. I know it bothers you. But let me tell you, my son, do not suspect that I have done anything disrespectful. The reason why I've done this is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh, told me that this must be done. The day would come when the Jewish people would go into exile at the Churban of the Bayis Rishon. And as they would be taken to exile, they would pass this road. And at that point in time, the decree would be such that there would never be a rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. The Jewish people would go into exile, and that would be the end of the Jewish people. And when they came and they passed on this road and they saw the grave of Rachel Imenu, they ran to the grave and they cried bitter tears at her grave. Rachel heard their cries. She came out of her grave, Chazal say. Rashi brings us down to Parshas Vayechi, and she cried with them. And as Chazal says, she was mispalul to Hashem. How could this happen? And she went on to say to Hashem, Hashem, what are you upset about? That the Jewish people they brought into the Beis Hamikdash an idol. This, you have competition that the Jewish people are not only serving you, they're also bowing to idols, they're serving idols. And you're disappointed and you're upset that there's, you have competition to your service. Ribbono shel Olam, look at me. I was meant to marry Yaakov Avinu, just me alone. No competition. And when my father Lavan pulled the fast one and switched me for Leah, did I complain? Not only did I not complain, I gave Leah the simonim so that she should not be embarrassed. So if I, a human being, was willing to tolerate competition in my desire to have the full attention of my husband, you, Hashem, also can tolerate some competition. It's true they've done a terrible avera. Avodah Zarah is the gimel avera of chamurah, is a chiyuv, penalty of death. But Hashem, forgive them. Rachel nevake kol b'rama nishma, Rachel nevake al boneha. And Hashem says, you're right. Yisachar lufulosech nu'um Hashem v'shavu bonim ligvulan. There will be a goal. All of this is what Yaakov Avinu said to Yosef, and therefore have no complaint against me. This was necessary. So now the question is, there was a reason why Rachel had to be buried on the road. Yaakov, we understand, was meant to be buried in the Ma'aretz Machpelah. So it was never meant to be. It was never meant to be that Rachel would be buried with Yaakov. So what then does it mean here in this Rashi, in our Parsha, where Rashi says, because she was mezalzel in the Mishkaf of Yaakov, of the Tzaddik, lezachsa likaver imo, she did not merit to be buried with him. What then does this mean? So here in the Megoris Gedolos, I have a Megoris Gedolos, I'm not sure everyone has this edition, it's a very elaborate edition. It's the Oiz Vehodar edition of Megoris Gedolos, and he brings down what we call it the Sivsei Chachamim HeChodosh. Okay, everyone knows there's a commentary on the Rashi called Sivsei Chachamim. I don't know why they call it Sivsei Chachamim HeChodosh. Really do not know why, but I think it's the basic Sivsei Chachamim. And he says here something which I think is utterly shocking. Here, it says, alongside Rashi, in this Megoris Gedolos, in the Sivsei Chachamim, Ilulei, it's part of a discussion, there are different opinions. But he writes here, Ilulei, he's really addressing this question that we've just discussed. Ilulei lo zilzula hoya gam Yaakov nikbar imo sham bederech efras. This is shocking beyond belief. That the question is such a great question. It says in the pasuk explicitly that she was buried in the Derech Efras in order to serve as a advocate for the Jewish people when they went to Golos. But yet it says the reason why she was not buried in the Ma'aretz Machpelah is because she was mezalzel in the Mishkav of the Tzaddik. If not for what has happened here in Parsha Vayetze, not only would Rachel be buried at Kever Rachel, Yaakov Avinu would be there with her. After Yaakov Avinu died in Egypt, they would have brought him out of Egypt. They would have brought him to Kever Rachel, to be buried next to Rachel, not to leave her alone. They would not have taken Yaakov Avinu to the Ma'aretz HaMachpelah. They would have taken him out of Egypt, traveled to Eretz Yisrael, and brought him to Beis Lechem, to the road along Beis Lechem, and buried him next to his wife, his Ikeres Habayis Rachel, in Beis Lechem. And every time we would go to Eretz Yisrael, and we would go to Kever Rachel, it wouldn't just be Kever Rachel. It would be the Kever of Rachel and Yaakov. They would be there together, side by side. Yaakov and Rachel. Could you imagine? It would be a whole different burial.
spot, a whole different holy site. It wouldn't just be the Kever of Rachel, the Kever of Yaakov and Rachel. That's what it says in the Ikar Sifsei Chachamim, HaChadosh, in the Mikoros Gedolos, to answer this difficult question, the contradiction as to why Rachel was not buried with Yaakov. Unbelievable. Is it really unbelievable? Because let's ask a question. When Rachel gave Leah this simanim, was it only Leah, or was it only Rachel that did an act of kindness? Yaakov Avinu could have the next morning went to Lavan and said, this is not what I worked for 7 years. I worked 7 years for Rachel, not for Leah. You deceived me. It's a nekach tos, kiddush tos. It's over, null and void, out. This is not what it was all about. You know it as well. And yet, Yaakov Avinu accepted it, and he worked another 7 years. It says in the Pasuk, the next day, Vayas Yaakov Kain Vayimalei Shivua Zois Vayiten Lo Esrochel Bito Lo Leisha. Rashi says, then it goes on to say, the next Pasuk Lamed, Vayavo Gam El Rochel Vayehav Gam Esrochel Mileya Vayavoid Imoi. Oid Sheva Shonim Acheirois. Rashi asked the question, why does it say Acheirois? Another 7 years. Rashi, Acheirois, Hikishon Larishonois. Mari Shonois Beemuna, Afo Acheirois Beemuna. The Afalpi, Shebiramaus Bolas. Even though this came upon him through being deceived, he maintained the honor of Rachel and Leah, and he worked another 7 years be'emuna. Could you imagine if Klal Yisrael, when they fled, when they were taken into exile after the Churban Bayis Rishon, would have come upon these graves, Yaakov and Rachel, just as Rachel would have defended Klal Yisrael, Kol b'rama nishma Rachel mevaka al baneha. Yaakov would have defended Klal Yisrael as well and would have said, Ribbono shel Olam, look what happened to me. What came upon me was biramos. But in order not to embarrass Leah, I accepted it. And I worked sheva shonim acheirois be'emunah. With full faith. Ribbono shel Olam, just because the Jewish people, they acted with ramos, they misbehaved. Ribbono shel Olam, you can be like me. Oy sheva shonim achirois. I accepted. I had good faith. I didn't want to cause harm to Leah. I accepted her. I married Rachel and I worked another 7 years that I was not required. The Emuna. You can also accept the Jewish people despite their misdeeds and their lack of faith in you and their behavior. We can find a solution. But you don't have to pour out your anger and send them into exile. Can you imagine what would have been if had we had the merit of both the combination of Yaakov and Rachel together? Who's not to say that Mashiach would have come, a lot would have already come. Our trajectory in world history would have been different. The Gula may have already come. Pain and the sorrows of Klal Yisrael may have been different, may have been lightened, but it didn't happen. What's the Musa Haskel here? Why did it not happen? Why? Well, who are we to say it's not our place to criticize Chas v'Shalom, our ancestors?
The Pesukim tell us that there was a uncomfortable issue, a very uncomfortable situation between Rachel and Leah. Reuven comes home with the Dudoim, and he presents it to his mother. And Rachel asks Leah, can I also have some? And Leah bursts out, Hame'at? Is it a small thing that you took away my husband? And now you want this also? There's a bitterness. There is a tinge. We're not to judge chas v'shalom, the sanctity of the others and the boys. But there appears to be here a rivalry. And when you read the commentators, they certainly seem to bring this out between Rachel and Leah. And it triggered a response. Lochain, okay. You want to be bitter? You want to complain? Okay. You know what? Yaakov, if you go to her, just let me have some of the Dudoim. This whole sichsuch should never have happened. And because it happened, look at the consequences. The consequences were that Rachel was mezalzel in the mishkav of Yaakov, of the tzaddik. And because of that, there's a consequence that she will not be buried with Yaakov. She has to be buried on the road. That was preordained. But it could have been that Yaakov would have kept her company. But because of this uncomfortable situation between her and Leah, and their words came at one another, Hame'at, Lochein, look what has happened. She was not deserving that Yaakov would be buried with her. And Yaakov thus was buried in the Maris Machpelah with Leah. And when the Jewish people came upon the road, they only had 50% of the ammunition that we need to prevail. What would have been had they both been there? Who knows? The Musa Haskell is, we don't know what the consequences of our actions are. Sinas Chinam is a terrible avera. It's contagious. Sometimes one wrong word, one sarcastic statement can cascade, can take on a life of its own and bring about consequences, ramifications that we never would have imagined could have occurred, can develop in a way that we can never imagine. We always have to be on guard. The Yetzirah is always working overtime to have us slip up in small matters, because it knows a small misstep can lead to a world of difference that may not be to our benefit. Again, as I mentioned in the beginning, as a disclaimer, this idea that I said over here with Yaakov could have been buried with her, this is hidden away in a line in the Sifsei Chachom HaChodosh. There's another parish in the Sifsei Chachom HaChodosh, a different interpretation. There are other answers. This is just being mefalpil and thinking out loud with you about different issues. And again, everything has to be fully studied, understood. And as always, we have to maintain the highest degree of reverence, awe, fear of our ancestors who are perfect beyond our comprehension. Torah sometimes super magnifies the slightest teeny imperfections for us to learn from, but no way are they to be looked at as a defect, chas v'shalom. We need the guidance of the commentators, the Ramban, Rashi, and Talmidei Chachamim to properly nuance and help us understand every word of Kumash against the backdrop of Yiras Elokim, Yiras Aremimus, covered to our ancestors with the greatest sense of reverence and awe. May we be zoicha that the cries of Rachel be heard, the cries of the Ovois, Yaakov be heard, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Klal Yisrael a geula, yeshuos v'nechomos, the chlal of a prat, and we shall witness good days, good happy days, Bias HaMashiach, v'nehera v'yoneinu, Amen. Thank you for listening. Have a good night and a good week.